shortly after the miners were found alive, the government of Chile requested through our State Department assistance from NASA. So NASA decided to send down two medical doctors and a psychiatrist from Johnson Space Center in Houston, and me as an engineer to see what kind of assistance they needed.
Give us a sense. You get there and you find. I mean, there are 33 miners. They're what, more than 2,000 feet below the surface.
That's right.
This is a vexing engineering challenge.
It certainly is, and I'm not a mining engineer. I mean, I learned a lot just by talking with a couple of the mining engineers that I was introduced to, and it really was quite a challenge. I thought the government of Chile was doing an exceptional job. They had three separate drill rigs there all at once so that one of them would be able to get through and rescue these guys. But that in itself was a challenge, drilling through the apparently very hard rock there in Chile.
And you were able to help them how? You know, what role did you play?
Originally, I went down to assist our doctors with any kind of technology needs they might need.
Mm-hmm.
But that didn't come to pass so much. I spent most of my time with these engineers and also with a Chilean ex-submarine captain who was detailed there to kind of be in charge of the support network. And I'm an ex-sub-captain myself, so we got along pretty well. And through him, I was introduced to some Chilean Navy engineers who were at the site doing a survey on how they were going to design and build this rescue capsule. So I got to talk to these engineers for quite some time. And, you know, this was about a week after those the miners were found to be alive, and so things were really, really fluid there. But, you know, in my discussions with these Navy engineers, I found that the kind of guidance they were being given to design this capsule really wasn't fleshed out very well.
And so you made some suggested about the requirements of how to actually pull this thing together.
Well, eventually, not so much down there, but in our final outbrief with the Minister of Health, the four NASA guys, you know, myself included, gave kind of a roundup of what we thought, some recommendations that they ought to do. And one of the ones that I recommended was, I said, we can help with these design recommendations if you want. So he didn't say anything at the meeting, but a day after I returned to the United States, he emailed me and asked for precisely that. So while I was down there, I also found out that he, the Minister of Health, was going to make a determination on which design to pursue about actually a week from the date we gave our final outbrief. So I had just a few days after receiving his email to put together a package to send down to him. So I put together a team of probably about 20 engineers from mostly from the NASA Engineering and Safety Center, but there were engineers that came from across the country and across most of the NASA centers. And in about 3 days, we hammered out about 75 suggested design requirements and then passed them down to him on the date he was supposed to make a decision. I don't know if that ever happened, if in fact he made the decision on that day, but we got it down early enough that it was eventually used by the Navy engineers to come up with that final design.
And what were some of the engineering challenges with building this thing?
Putting together a number of suggested design requirements is the easy part. The designing and building was the hard part.
Right.
And I wasn't part of those last two, but some of the things we put in our thing was that we thought a requirement ought to be that the capsule should be able to be operated by a single miner. In other words, the guy should be able to get in and secure himself without assistance, because at the end of the day, there was going to be just a single miner left down there, and you know, if he needed help getting in, he'd be kind of in trouble. I should also say that we included the doctors who went down with me in this discussion, and they had a number of medical requirements, which you may have heard mentioned in the press, that they wanted in this thing. You know, oxygen for, you know, in case the atmosphere in the borehole coming up wasn't completely pristine. But we put stuff in there. We thought it ought to have lighting for, you know, situational awareness of the miner, and two-way audio communication so that the miner can talk topside and topside can talk to him in case there was an issue coming up.
And one of the challenges here is that the walls of the shaft that they drilled, probably not particularly smooth, so you have to even think of ways of dealing with that.
Yeah, well, exactly. That was another suggested design requirement, was that they needed to account for friction. And, you know, we knew they were going to build this thing out of some kind of metal, but a metal cylinder like this going up and down in a mostly rock-walled borehole, we didn't want to have a lot of scraping. So our requirement was take into account the friction that you might have there. And one of the ways we suggested you either use some kind of replaceable Teflon blocks or some spring-loaded rollers, which is eventually what they chose. And if you saw some of the rescue, it seemed to work pretty well.
Clint Craig is the principal engineer with NASA's Engineering and Safety Center. It's based at Langley Center down near Hampton, Virginia. And talk to me a little bit about I'm sure like all of us, we were watching as they pulled them up one by one, and
right.
You see this capsule, and did you think? Did you look at it? And I mean, you have to look at it with very different eyes than a goofball like me would.
Yeah, I mean, when it first showed up on the site, they had kind of a media event for it. And I watched some of the videos and saw the Minister of Mining from Chile get inside. And, you know, the first thing I noticed was the rollers. And I noticed the fact that he appeared to have plenty of room inside there. And another design requirement that I saw when he was in there, my human factors engineer suggested that we ought to have a requirement that allows the person to move at least one hand in front of his face to adjust his helmet and goggles and those kind of things. And he was certainly able to do that. Another thing we noticed was a harness. Our doctors had recommended that a loose-fitting harness should be in the capsule in case the miner passed out on the way up, and that would prevent him from falling to the floor. So those were a couple things I noticed from just the pictures and some of the videos I saw.
And talk a little bit about how you actually felt as you watched these folks come up. I mean, it had to be, I mean, I know I was like on the edge of my seat, had to be just an amazing experience.
I was thrilled and very relieved. I tried to watch very closely how that capsule was working, and it looked to me like it was just working like a champ. So I was very happy.
And it's always nice when you can, supply some expertise that actually helps in a situation like this.
Yes, that was nice, you know. But, again, the heavy lifting was done by these Chilean Navy engineers, building it and making sure that it worked properly and all the testing and stuff like that.
And really, by all accounts, just a remarkable job on their part.
Oh, absolutely. I was so impressed down there with the people and the expertise they had and how intelligent they were. They were just a great, great group there at the mine site.
And all told, you were actually down there for a couple days, a week? How long were you?
We're actually in Chile about 5 days. We're at the mine for 3 full days.
And then even spent more time on it as you came back to the United States.
Yeah, we worked for, gosh, I guess 3 full days on these requirements and sent it down on the fourth day.
Very nice. Mr. Craig, am I saying that right, Craig?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Anything I didn't ask you about that I should have?
The doctors had a very significant input into this whole thing as well. I don't know if you're going to talk to them, but pretty much the entire support structure that we saw topside in the videos, the triage area, the field hospital that was located at the site, the helipads, and the preps that went on at the local hospital were all recommendations of theirs. So it wasn't just me and my team. Our doctors really contributed a lot as well.
Hmm.